Carolina outdoors, where many times, in fact, most of the time, we like to look forward, talk about things that are going on now or about to go on so that you, the listener to the Carolina Outdoors, can get out there and enjoy it. But on this segment, before we do that, we want to look back just a little bit of what happened here in 2020, most especially focusing on the storms that came through, at least the United States, back in 2020, because we had an incredible year. The prediction back in early April from the Colorado State University Tropical Meteorology Project team predicted an above-average Atlantic hurricane season. The team forecasted 16 named storms, including 8 hurricanes. Then later in May, the Climate Prediction Center at the NOAA forecasted a 60% chance for an above normal season, predicting that there's a 70% chance of having 13 to 19 named storms, of which 6 to 10 could develop into hurricanes, including 3 to 6 major hurricanes, which are hurricanes measured from Category 3 to 5. So, welcome everyone. I'm Bill Barti. We're going to invite in Wes Lawson to talk about what happened with these predictions, because it was that and then some for 2020 and the storms that came through. And then, Wes, after we talk about that, maybe we'll talk a little bit about what that means moving forward. Welcome.
Hey, Bill, it's great to be here. So 2020 is kind of like the hostess with the mostest. She didn't want to be outdone with these predictions, and so she went above and beyond. So you think about this, all those predictions were pretty scary to begin with, and 2020 just said, yeah, hold my drink, watch this. And what we got was 31 tropical cyclones. All but one of those became named storms. That's 30 named storms. Now, of those 30, Bill, 13 developed into hurricanes. 6 of those became major hurricanes, and one of those, Hurricane Iota, made it to a Category 5 hurricane. That's the big scary one, with all the high wind well over 150 miles an hour on a 1 minute measurement. So that's pretty serious. That's when the weather people can't actually stand up straight, and you do see those street signs moving around. So 12 of those 30 storms made landfall in the contiguous United States, which breaks the record of 9 set back in 1916. One other thing, thinking just beyond the Carolinas, this was the first year that one of these storms made a turn and hit the Iberian Peninsula. Portugal got hit by a tropical cyclone for the first time. This was back in September, which was the most active month on record, with 10 cyclones developing in just that 30 days, and one hit Portugal, little old Portugal, making it in the weather news. So it's been quite an active year, but you know, it's not just about the crazy pictures and watching those hurricane hunters fly into the hurricane. Hurricanes bring with them a lot of change, not just to how we interact with the world, but how animal life, fish, birds, mammals, small, little creatures, how they all interact with their environment as hurricanes come and go.
So I want to talk a little bit about that, because it enables us to look forward a bit. But before I do, and Wes, I need help with what happened in 2020, but we're talking about Atlantic storms, and one thing is how they're named, because you just mentioned the last one, which was in mid-November or so, Iota. Hurricane names, they're pulled from 6 rotating lists that are maintained and continually updated by the World Meteorological Organization. Try to say that 5 times quick. Storm names are sometimes retired, but only after a storm has been particularly costly or particularly deadly. So when that normal list of storm names is used up, additional names are taken from the Greek alphabet. Now, I don't know how many people who are listening to the Carolina Outdoors may have taken Greek. Maybe they're in a Greek organization at some time. But Iota is one of those Greek names. So I don't know how far that is, Wes. Can you talk, and then we'll move forward into what it means moving forward for us?
Yeah. So, you know, we have to work through the alphabet alphabetically, not to get too lost in the weeds, but you know, alphabet, alpha, beta, we're throwing in all kinds of little academics today. But once we get through A to Z, and those names have changed over the years to be more encompassing of the world beyond the contiguous United States. So you're seeing things like Edward, which was spelled differently than Edward. Gonzalo was this year. Nana, you know, Tropical Storm and Hurricane Nana really, to me, was kind of scary because, you know, for a lot of folks, Nana is grandmother. And so if you had a sweet grandmother, you were hoping it was going to be a sweet storm. But then we had some tougher ones like Hurricane Isaias. That was fun for us to all try to learn how to pronounce because there was a lot of vowels close together. But yeah, we got into Iota, which was much later on. But to confuse things, we had Tropical Storm Beta forming just in advance of Tropical Storm Wilfred. But because those storms were a little bit off in nature, Wilfred was forming a little bit earlier, but didn't quite get his act together. Beta got named a little bit sooner officially. But you know, Bill, earlier in the spring, we talked about those dust storms coming from the Sahara and how an active dust storm season like we had typically helps mitigate and lessen the impact of the hurricane season. And if that's the case, what would this hurricane season have been like if we had not had an active Saharan dust season? This was also part of a larger La Nina system. So we, you know, in the 90s, we heard a lot about El Nino and those dry systems. La Nina is a wetter system, which means theoretically and in past history that the Rockies in Canada probably are going to be poised for a very wet, very snow-laden winter. Those storms don't typically get named because they don't last as long. They don't form. There's no tropical cyclogenesis with those like we have with hurricanes and tropical storms. So, yeah, to your earlier point, we got kind of early into the Greek alphabet. First time we've gotten that deep in recorded history, I believe. So 2020 is just setting all kinds of records for us.
We're talking storms here on the Carolina Outdoors, at least storms that have gone by, thankfully. But what is that going to mean for us moving forward? We're going to talk about that next. But before we do, we need to remind you who we are. He's Wes Lawson. I'm Bill Bartee. We're the Outdoor Guys from Jesse Brown's, and it's full season at Jesse Brown's Outdoors as we're outfitting people for the outdoors, as well as outfitting gift buyers who love people who love the outdoors. So if you get a chance, stop by in the Sharon Corners Shopping Center, that's in the South Park Shopping District of Charlotte, North Carolina, or better yet, you can check us out online. Our brand new website is up and operating. It's jessebrowns.com. So stop by for a visit and we'll get you outfitted. And if it's not for you, we'll get whoever in your life loves the outdoors outfitted for them. Listen, Wes, as we transition a little bit, I missed out on talking about some of the names because you mentioned Arthur. I did love a little bit of the sometimes Southern flair that may pop up in some of these names. You mentioned Arthur. We also had a tropical storm named Dolly, and then one named Faye as well. And as we step back a little bit, I love a Josephine. That's a great name. And Nana fits any grandmother or mom. It doesn't fit a storm, as you may have mentioned. Paulette and Teddy. Gotta love Teddy. Were some of the names that resonated with me because they're names that I know people by those names. So hats off to whoever carries on those lists at the World Meteorological place that keeps the names of all these. So why are the Outdoor Guys here talking about the storms of the Atlantic storm season? Well, you've heard us discuss of wading safely, whether you know an angler or maybe you're a fisherman who's been out in a stream as the water is maybe too high to take on. Maybe you're a hiker who's been in our mountains and you come across what is usually a babbling brook, an easy to cross rock hop stream crossing that all of a sudden is now at a dangerous level and you have to pick and choose how to cross. Many of us have been on hikes in the woods and see these large limbs that have fallen across the trail crossing where we are. These limbs are shaken loose from storms. not necessarily the hurricane when it's category 3, 4, or 5, but the after effects as it comes through the Gulf and then dissipates, but it still carries tons of water and still carries tons of wind as it comes across the Appalachian Mountains that we love here in the Carolinas, Tennessee, Virginia, and beyond. And then we, the outdoors people, get to deal with it. So Wes, with that, maybe we should have a rehash of how we prepare for a trip. Many times when you're in a stream, it doesn't even have to be a storm, really. We have several dam released or tail releases in this vicinity, whether it be the Catawba or maybe the Green River over towards Saluda. There's so many to name. For the angling community, many people love going over to East Tennessee. The South Holston and the Watauga are world-class trout fisheries, but they are operated by the TVA. Of course, the Catawba has Duke Energy, that have dams. So these tail races, you can be in a stream, and all of a sudden, if you do not know the schedule, do not know what the plans are for that day's release, the water can begin rising. I was recently, this year, on Wilson Creek, which is not a tail race fishery. It was a beautiful day, and we were in the stream. I was in the stream fishing along, bluebird skies, but guess what? The water began to rise. So at least with these storms, we have the knowledge of them coming across, but we have had recollections of people being in situations and how to handle those situations in high amounts of rainfall or wind.
Well, you know, the thing about water levels, especially in streams, we tend to think about that just based on what we see around us. So if it's a beautiful day where I am right now, how could that water level rise? Well, because it's rained upstream, or if you're out west, there's been a bigger snow melt, and that's what's affecting the water level where you are. And it is, at first, kind of a curiosity, sort of like when we realize that, you know, tsunamis don't have to be these towering walls of a wave coming at you, but a never-ending high tide. That's kind of the same thing. And so what we have to think about is, before we go on these great day trips or weekend trips, is to just be a little bit more prepared. So you wouldn't get in your car without your driver's license, I hope. When you get in the stream, proper footwear. So waders, wading boots. I would encourage folks to have a wading staff. Even if you're young and fit, we want you to become older and more experienced. And so, you know, when we do stream crossings, and we've talked about this several times, if you have that wading staff, you can get into and out of the water with multiple points of contact in the water. If I've just got my own 2 feet, when I move, 1 foot's coming up, which means I've got one point of contact. That water rushing past a slippery rock, it's much easier for me to fall, and you can't break that fall until you hit the bottom. And if you're in waders, water's coming in, that's heavy, that's cold, that's bracing, that's dangerous. The other, though, that you mentioned earlier is about branches and limbs. You know, if you go camping or you go hiking days after a big storm, a derecho, a hurricane, a tropical storm, a lot has changed up in those branches, up in that canopy. It doesn't take much for a branch to fall and to cause all kinds of problems for you. The best thing that could happen is, you know, it lands near you and you have a momentary scare. The worst is, you know, we're talking about a medical evac, people having to come in and get you. Do you know where you are? You know, did you look back and know what the trail looks like? It can be a really serious thing. So not to scare folks, but just to ask that you plan ahead. And if you need help planning ahead for that, let us know. You know, come by Jesse Brown's over here in Sharon Corners. We would be happy to help talk you through all of that stuff so that it's not scary, just so that you are practically prepared for a great day in the wilderness. But, you know, rising water is a scary thing. There are very few forces that are stronger than moving water.
So once you get on this hike or maybe a campsite, choosing it, awareness, being aware of what is above you. It's so easy to know that you're enjoying a beautiful mountain view or maybe you're enjoying time to yourself and you don't want to think about everything because that's what you're trying to escape as you're enjoying the Carolina outdoors or wherever you may be pursuing the outdoors. But sometimes you still have to pay attention. And these storms that have come through, Wes mentioned, a record number of them developing into Atlantic. They didn't hit North Carolina necessarily. They left us alone on the eastern seaboard. But they did come up the Gulf, and then they headed east and affected many of the places that we enjoy to go for hikes or go trout fishing. So be aware the higher winds do knock loose dead branches that sometimes hang way up high above only to fall later. So as you're hiking through the woods, enjoying nature, enjoying your time out there, be cognizant of what is above. And when you're setting up that special campsite, whether you're a car camper, a backpacker, or anywhere in between, setting up your hammock, going hammocking, always be aware of what is up above you so that you can not have some nasty dead limb that got jarred loose 2 weeks prior when one of those storms came through and have it fall on you. The other thing, Wes, I wanted to talk about here on the Carolina Outdoors, just a reminder, if you're joining us, I'm Bill Barty, he's Wes Lawson, and we're talking about the record number of storms that came through and what's that mean for us. I can hear Don Yeager saying that for the trout streams, it's wonderful. And in fact, for all of the streams, it's wonderful. And why is that? It's healthy for the fish that are in there. All the silt, all the sediment, all the things that have bogged up the tributaries to larger streams and those streams that run into larger rivers, all of this rain that we got that came up through the Gulf but then came across our North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, all the southeastern states as it came across there flushes out. And what that removal of all that debris, silt, and sediment means is the aquatic life can be healthier. And when the aquatic life is healthier, it transitions to the fish life. So we anglers should note that not all the fish get washed away in these gully washers, so to speak. They don't get washed away. It just enables their habitat to become refreshed. I had a friend who was a guide who said all these new restaurants open up for these fish when this happens so that they can stay and enjoy this healthy food system, ecosystem that is in not only the mountains but throughout the Piedmont as the water all flows downhill to our Carolina coast. So anyway, explaining what the storm predictions that we had way back in the spring mean to the record number of storms that we had this year to really what it means moving forward. And lastly, not just to the Carolina outdoors, but to wintertime, whether you're a skier or a snow lover, Wes, a lot of this may mean something for our winter sports as well.
Yep. Yeah. So historically, when we have tropical storm seasons, hurricane seasons like this, it's because of that La Nina effect, which is on a cycle, essentially. And that is a high moisture content kind of a front, and it stays around for a long, long time. We can anticipate, especially out west and in the northwest, seeing an increased snowfall this year. That would keep in kind of in the tradition of these kind of storms. And so the hope is they'll get that. And what that then means in the spring is if they get a good snowpack, there'll be a good snow melt, which is great for the rivers out there. And it may also mean a less catastrophic wildfire season. Hurricane seasons can be like wildfires in a sense when they can be healthy. Now, they aren't always healthy. There is an impact to human life and our property and also to wildlife. But there is also that rebirth that comes afterwards. But if the western states especially can get a good snowpack, they'll have great recreation, so great skiing and snowboarding. But then also in the spring and summer, they'll have that good thaw, that good snow melt, which will mean it will be excellent fishing. And, you know, that's for us, that's a big deal. And it also means, you know, the travel will be a little bit better. And it means the bird watching will be better. It means that the fall hunting season will be a little bit better. So it's not all doom and gloom. And maybe 2021 is going to look back at 2020 and say, I see what you did there. And it's all going to be good.
So see what we did there on the Carolina Outdoors. We began with the predictions of the storm season earlier in the spring of 2020, and we've circled back around, and it sounds like we're going to have a great winter of snowboarding, skiing, snowmobiling, and all of those things that we do throughout the Carolinas, maybe, but especially Midwest and West. So it sounds like a Big Sky Montana may potentially have a great ski season, which will transition to wonderful runoff and wonderful Western fishing for our destination anglers heading out west in 2021. Hey, stay tuned for more of the Carolina Outdoors.